The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd just say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of Holy Communion. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking about the importance of prayer and dependence on God. That's the theme of our service this morning. And as everyone will be aware, it's been a very sad time in the life of the nation and the Commonwealth as we mourn the death of Queen Elizabeth II and prepare for her funeral service tomorrow. But it's also been a very sad week in the life of the parish with the deaths of three greatly loved and respected parishioners. And later in our service, we'll be remembering the families of Derek Catney, Derek Boucher, and Eddie Hunter in our prayers. We just wanted to mention some notices for the week that is to come. Tonight, our worship will be continuing at 7 o'clock with a special service of thanksgiving and remembrance for the life of Her Majesty the Queen at 7 o'clock. And that service will be live streamed, and it will also incorporate a minute's silence. Also wanted to remind people, if you're here this morning, you haven't had the opportunity to do so and you'd like to do, there is a book of condolence at the back of the church. And if you'd wish to sign, this would be a good opportunity because we hope to send that book away in the next few days to the royal family. So if you would like to sign that book of condolence at the back of the church. Also to mention that obviously tomorrow our activities are cancelled or postponed. And on Tuesday, between 10:30 and 12:30, there's a new group meeting in the parish hall called Craiga Crafters. So if you have an interest in crafting of any kind and you'd like to come along, there'll be the opportunity to do that together. We hope it'll be something that everyone in the community will feel welcome to come along to. There'll be tea and the opportunity just to be together, to do that activity together. And we hope that, that people would, if they have that interest, would like to come along and join between 10:30 and 12:30 in the parish hall. Tuesday evening, the Select Vestry will be meeting at 7:30. And on Wednesday afternoon, Pilates will take place at 7 o'clock. And not sure if Mixed Bowls is beginning this Wednesday. I think it's scheduled to begin on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. The Sanctuary course, which is a course about mental health, which was due to start this Wednesday, is going to be starting the following Wednesday, which is the 28th of September at 7:45 in the coffee bar. And on Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting over Zoom. On Friday afternoon at 2:45, the funeral service for Derek Catney will take place here in the church. And on Saturday morning between 9 and 11, there'll be a work party around the grounds. And if you're free and you can come and help in that way, we're always glad to see people who will assist with that work party, which takes place every month on the last Saturday of the month between 9 and 11. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11 o'clock, and Holy Communion at 7 o'clock. We're going to begin our service today by singing together the hymn, "The Lord is King, lift up your voice."
Thank you. Good morning. Our service this morning is Holy Communion. We say together, Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Let us pray. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing the Gloria together in the words of hymn 195, Gloria, Gloria. Please stand and we'll sing together. During this, the Sunday school will go.
Thank you.
a special prayer for today, the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please take your seats for the reading.
The epistle is written in the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing together, Great Shepherd of your people hear.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I had a delightful visit during the summer from some German friends of mine that I used to work with many years ago in the L'Arche community for adults with learning disabilities in Dublin. And these friends of mine came for the day with their children on one of those rearranged trips that had been cancelled many times during the pandemic. So I collected them from the Dublin train, and I dropped them off at the Titanic Museum, And then Connor and I met them for a pizza in town later that day. And I took a photo of them when I dropped them outside the Titanic Museum. And then I reminded them about the last photo that I had taken of them many years ago before they were married, when I had the opportunity to visit them in Germany. And in this photograph that I had taken probably about 20 years ago, it's a photo that shows this young couple standing in front of a wall with their arms around each other. And on the surface, it looks like a pretty ordinary wall. There's a tree in the background, and you can see bits of scroll graffiti on this wall. But this particular wall was once a very significant wall. It stretched for 96 miles. It was 12 feet high, and it was covered on both sides with barbed wire, dividing the people of East Berlin from the people of West Berlin, the people of East Germany from the people of West Germany, for over 28 years. And what was highly symbolic for me about this particular photograph is that this young couple, probably not so young now, but they grew up on opposite sides of the wall, living most of their lives in very different political and economic regimes. And then they met and they fell in love in Dublin, when they lived and worked in the L'Arche community at the same time as I did. And I guess the news events of these present times make us all aware of the many walls that divide our world. Walls between leavers and remainers. Walls between monarchists and republicans. Walls between truth and fake news. Walls between those who have military power and those who resent the fact that they don't. And we're no strangers to walls in this part of the world either. Walls between Protestants and Catholics. Walls between refugees and our native population. Walls between those who have money and those who don't. And I wonder if it's possible that there may well be walls in some of our lives. Walls maybe between us and perhaps a member of our family. Are there walls between us and someone who has hurt us or offended us in the past? And of course, those are not comfortable or easy questions to engage with or to think about. But it does take quite a bit of effort to build and to maintain a wall. On the few occasions, and I have to stress they're few, when I have helped friends doing some construction work with my soft pen-pushing hands, I invariably always come back in with my hands torn and bleeding. And indeed, the effort continues even after construction, because repairs have to be made, and we endeavor to keep those walls strong and reinforced. And yet for me, it's really interesting that so much of Jesus' ministry was about breaking down the walls that divide people. Jesus came to do away with them, to give us the power to do what we cannot do in our own strength, and to forgive those who have wronged us. And at the very heart of the way that Jesus helps us to do this is the way of prayer. In St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, which Gillian read for us a few moments ago, he gives advice to Timothy, this young minister of the gospel. And in that section that we heard from this morning, the first thing that's suggested is a call to prayer. And this is what he writes. He says, "I urge, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. This was to be at the heart of Timothy's ministry. And you'll see by the language that that's not a wishy-washy suggestion. That's not an appeal that maybe, you know, if you had a minute sometime, you might say a prayer. But it's rather an urging. And one of the most fundamental things about prayer is that it is a heartfelt acknowledgement that we have a sense of need. We ask God to make our sick friend better. We ask him to guide our children on the right path. We pray for the peace of the world. We're confronted with a situation that's deeply, deeply important to us, and yet we feel powerless to change it or to do anything about it. And so we turn to God for help. And it seems strangely fitting on this significant weekend, as we prepare for Her Majesty's funeral tomorrow, that we are asked to pray for kings and for those in authority. But you know, sometimes when we hear this call to prayer, sometimes pride prevents us from taking that step. We feel that somehow we ought to be able to deal with whatever it is in our own strength. And we're often blocked by a barrier which the Bible calls sin. And that's a word that has such negative associations that maybe people flinch, even as I mention it today. But at the heart of sin is something actually very simple. It is essentially a turning away from the one who loves us. God has set certain principles and guidelines in place to direct and to shape our lives. But we then choose to turn our back and to do our own thing. And we make every effort to convince ourselves that we've made the right choice. And yet a nagging doubt remains in our mind and in our head. And sometimes something has happened that maybe prompted us to turn away in the first place. Maybe someone that we loved died. Or maybe someone that we loved and trusted hurt us. Maybe our personal circumstances changed all of a sudden. And underlying all or any of those kinds of events, we begin to believe that somehow God has let us down. And those are, as I say, they're huge struggles. They're very real struggles. And they're huge walls to break down. It all seems too much or too far removed from where we are when those barriers are in place. And you might be sitting here this morning wondering, well, what's the good news in telling someone that they're a sinner when there's nothing that they can do about it? But Paul wants to assure Timothy, this young minister of the gospel, and he wants to assure us that there actually is someone who can help us in these struggles. He wants to tell us that there is a mediator. There's somebody who has stepped in to bridge that gap between ourselves and God. And there is someone who offers wholeheartedly his help and his power to break down the barriers. And that person is Jesus. I began today by telling you a little bit about a photograph of my two friends standing in front of a wall that divided their countries, and what rejoicing there was when that wall came down back in 1991 after 28 years of division. And I wonder, as we examine our own lives in the light of events that are shaking our world today, are there actually walls that need to come down? Are there walls and attitudes that need to soften? And it's important for us today to remember that there is a mediator who has promised to help us. Someone who, as we will hear in a moment, stretched out his arms on a cross to call us back to himself. It's up to him and us to break down those walls, because no matter how hard we try, we won't be able to do it on our own. Let us pray. Lord, as we examine our lives, we know that there are barriers that divide us and that divide our world. But if we supply the willingness, will you supply the power to break them down? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. And so we pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And as we pray for your church today, we pray that at this time of national mourning, that the church's message would impact a global audience through the Queen's funeral service tomorrow. We pray for the Dean of Westminster Abbey, for the Archbishop of Canterbury, for all who'll be involved in the music and in leading that service in different ways. And we ask that somehow, as the world stops and pays attention, that all that happens will act as a signpost or a pointer to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine and Russia after terrible scenes of death and destruction throughout the country this week. We pray, Lord, that you would guide the peacemakers right around the world. We pray that you would give them courage to lead and to bring people with them. We also want to pray, especially at this time, for a time of working together among the leaders of the world, that together they might respond to the challenge of rising costs and to rebuilding after COVID. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. And we pray today for all who are ill at home or in hospitals or nursing homes. And we pray too for all who care for them. We pray for all who mourn this day, remembering especially the royal family, the Catney, Boucher, and Hunter family circles in their time of loss and sadness. And we pray that they would know your comfort and your strength to sustain them. Lord, in your mercy, Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue our time of prayer as we pray together the words of the humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's stand and sing together, I am not worthy, Holy Lord. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now, and may this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord God, the source of truth and love, keep us faithful to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, united in prayer and the breaking of bread, and one in joy and simplicity of heart, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, Lord for the Years.